me, I'll call you. Let's pray together. Let's be a family that prays together. Amen. I've heard it said that a family that prays together stays together. So don't forget that. Live stream links, if you haven't already, you have a YouTube account. Just go ahead and like our YouTube page. Subscribe. Facebook, don't be shy. Subscribe and like. And then podcasts. If you have a smartphone, you can download Podbean. And then you can have our podcast as well if you want to listen to the preaching or teaching in the background. And last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in your financial giving. Whatever you purpose between you and God for the support of the ministry here, there's a box back there. You know that we don't pass the hat. And you can do so online here through PayPal as well between you and God. Amen. All right. Before we get started, how's everybody's week going so far? Everybody's week. Hard going. Week, okay. Got some thumbs up there. Some thumbs up. Everybody else? Matthew, a little tired today, buddy, but it's good to see you, okay? He had a very awesome birthday party, Matthew. That was cool, huh, buddy? Yeah, all right. All right, praise God. Well, guys, I'm hoping that you're having a great start to your week, and I'm hoping that this midweek Bible study will pump you up, will challenge you, will convict you, but most of all, instruct you to know who your God is in a better fashion and manner within your heart and your mind. So that way it'll cause you to want to live a little bit more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, look up to the screen here. This is the latest. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? This is the latest track that I just made for tonight's Bible study. As you guys can see here on the upper right hand, if you will, there's the Bible. And then on the, underneath here, there's a scroll with a list of sins that God talks about by which he will judge the world. Revelation 20, 12, the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The judge is coming. Believe in Jesus or face the wrath of God. That's the gospel. Essentially, guys, you guys have to remember that the gospel of God without the wrath of God is not the gospel. Because in order for the sinner to know why they need to be saved, they need to know why they need to be saved. From what do they need to be saved from? And according to the Bible, that is the judgment to come. Tonight, we're going to talk about that. So as you guys can see here from the picture, there's a scroll. That scroll is to liken the books. The books which are recording every single thought, every single deed, every single work of every single human being right now on the planet. Here's the good news. If you became a born-again Christian at some point, the Bible says in the book of Colossians that your Savior, he blotted out your transgressions on his cross. The remembrance of your sin will literally be forgotten by God the moment that you put your faith and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's a blessed offer. That's why right now we are compelled, we are commanded to go out into the world and preach the gospel to as many souls as we can to lead them to saving faith. Because right now, men have an opportunity to be born again and saved, to have all their sins forgiven and forgotten. But for those who reject, some of your family members, some of mine, some of your friends, some of mine, here's what's going to happen. They're going to have a book written, every single human on the planet. Some of your loved ones who have already died, your great-grandfather, your great-grandmother, you never know who they were. All their deeds are recorded. All their secrets are recorded. All their thoughts are recorded. All their actions, all their everything in life that they've done is recorded in a book. And God is going to hold them accountable to what they've done and to the Word of God. He has revealed within them, in their conscience, enough light for them to have respond. He will hold them accountable if they never had a chance to hear the Word of God, perhaps, hear the name of Christ, perhaps. But nevertheless, he is going to hold them accountable. So for all of those type of sins, you guys can see in the list there, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, disobedient to parents, haters, proud, backbiters, fornicators, uncleanness. He is going to hold them all accountable to those deeds. He will judge. And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. So with that said, without further ado, turn your Bible with me to the book of Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter number 24. We've got a lot of scripture to cover tonight, church, and that's why I just wanted to get right into the study. And like I said, tonight, friend, no matter who you are today and no matter what you've done, as we continue to learn about the judgment of God, we're going to talk about the judgment that's coming to the unbeliever first and what's going to happen to them if they don't respond to Christ. And then before we go, I'm hoping to touch about the judgment for the Christian. What's going to happen to you? when you stand before the Savior, what is he going to judge you for? What is he going to hold you accountable for? In the end of the day, what is the main principle? Both the saved and the lost will still be judged by the same God. Both will be rewarded the due deed of their reward, or their acts, if you will, their deeds, if you will. The Lord is going to render unto every man according to his works. Well, for the Christian, it's going to be a reward for the inheritance. But for the unbeliever, it's going to be the degree of their punishment in hell, and then eventually in the lake of fire. And so tonight, if you have your Bible open, Acts 24, I hope you do, please start following along with me in verse number 25. Here we have the Apostle Paul as he's been ministering to Felix. We've been talking about this story, and then we've been giving our sermons based upon these three things that the Apostle was witnessing to this man Felix about. The first one he reasoned with him was in verse number 25, as he reasoned of righteousness. Remember that, church? We talked about the righteousness of God. We talked about why God is holy, how the Bible describes the character of God, that he's a holy God, he is a pure God, he is a God of righteousness, and no unholiness, no unrighteousness, no sin is in heaven whatsoever. And therefore, since God is so holy and righteous, and nothing outside of that standard can enter into his holy heaven, that's why he had to come down in the person of Christ to die for sinners, so that way sinners who put their faith in Christ would be imputed, what does that mean? Given or credited his righteousness so they can be saved. Your ticket into heaven is Jesus Christ. The second thing he reasoned with him is what? Temperance. Remember, we talked about that last week. We talked about self-control. We talked about how God is going to judge sinners based upon their ability to control themselves. And even more so as Christians, I showed you from the Bible, church, I'm not pointing out anybody here tonight, but you were commanded by God to control your body. And that is a fruit of the Spirit as a demonstration of your obedience and how much you're yielding to God, how much you're giving your heart and your mind to him. That will be manifested by a life of temperance, a life of self-control. It doesn't have to just be the food. It doesn't have to just be perhaps the words coming out of your mouth. Obviously, it's going to have to mostly deal with sin within your life, controlling the lust, if you will, within your heart and your mind. And then today, the third thing, judgment to come. So what do we mean by that? Well, according to the apostle, he is going to judge sinners. There is a judgment to come. The God of the Holy Bible is a judge. He is the judge of all the earth. And with that said, as our premise and as our preface, we're going to start going to the Bible now. What is he going to judge the sinner about? What is he going to hold them accountable to? And why do they need to fear that to come in order for them to possibly be saved from that? Because he still gives them an opportunity to be saved. And then lastly, what about you, Christian? Are you still going to be judged? Are there some things in your life that the Lord Jesus Christ is still going to talk to you about? Yes, he is. And tonight I'm going to show you that from the Bible. So would you join me now in prayer as we talk to God to help us tonight? Father, I thank you for the Word of God. For that, without further ado, Lord God, I just want to get right into the study. I ask and pray your Holy Spirit to help every single member tonight to have a spirit of concentration, no matter what their day was like before, no matter what their day was like an hour before, no matter what their day was like 15 minutes before they walked in through those doors. Tonight, God, you have an opportunity to talk to their hearts one-on-one, to let them know what you're going to judge them for. And if there's anything within their lives, including mine, God, that is not pleasing in your sight, if we've been hypocrites in any manner, shape, or form, if we've been double-minded in any manner, shape, or form, if we've been liars, if we've been backbiters, if we've been gossipers, if we have not been doing what you've commanded us to do as husbands, as wives, as members of the church, tonight, God, would you stir us, provoke us by the Holy Spirit, with our spirit, to repent, to take care of business with you in prayer, so we could respect you as the judge, we could revere you as the judge, and we could walk in a manner anticipating that judgment to come for the reward of the inheritance. Father, I thank you. And if there's any unbeliever that's going to watch this sermon in the future, I pray that tonight the Bible will be clearly taught and explain to them their need to respond to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 18. Let's go. First stop of the Bible train, Genesis chapter 18. If you can, you can open up your Bible there and follow along with me. It's going to be good for you to work on your Bible muscles. Amen. The reason why some of y'all don't know where that Bible page is because you haven't been opening up the Bible. The reason why some of you guys don't know where this book is and that book is because you're too much on your phone and watching YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, and you guys are whistling Dixie out there. Y'all got to get that Bible open. Don't be surprised why you guys don't know where them Bible books are, y'all. I'm just coming out in love, amen, in love. Genesis chapter 18. If you don't even know where that book is, brother, man, we're going to start praying for you right now, okay? Genesis 18, verse number 25. Here is a statement that Abraham makes before God when he is about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. You guys already know the story. He was going to judge these people on this part of the earth for their homosexuality, but not only for the homosexuality, their pride, their arrogancy. So don't just harp on the Sodomites just for the homosexuality. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of other things that they were judged for. So we can't get far from that. But nevertheless, look what he says here. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? First thing I want you to recognize tonight, church, the God that you believe in, he is a judge. And he is the judge of all the earth, including you and I right now. And like I said before, even though you became a Christian, the number one thing that's important for you to remember, all your sins have been forgiven on the cross. And he forgave you and he forgot your old man, your old past. You're crucified with Christ. You're not going to be held accountable for your state of unbelief, nor the wickedness you did before up until your salvation. All forgiven. But he's still going to judge you. For what? Your works as a Christian. But for the unbeliever, he's going to hold them accountable to everything they've done since they were born. We're going to talk about that tonight. So we need to preface this right off the bat. If you call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, you believe in a God that judges. Don't be shy to represent that God, because a lot of your mega church friends don't believe in that God anymore. A lot of the churches of the world are slowly but surely straying from representing the one true God, the God that judges, the God that makes sinners feel bad for their sin, the God that rains fire down, the God that rains brimstone down, the same God who is crucified on that cross. He is a God that judges. So here's the reason. Deep down within the conscience of all men, the God of the earth, the God who judges all, that is, he has given men the responsibility to be held accountable for their thoughts, secrets, works, and deeds, because he himself, as the Creator, has placed within them, and all of us tonight, of course, the knowledge of good and evil, right from wrong, and awareness of his existence. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you tonight why you have no excuse about the sin you've committed against God, not only before you got saved, but even after. I'm going to show you tonight why your friends don't have an excuse, why your children won't have an excuse, your coworkers, because the Bible says we don't have an excuse. And so as we learn this tonight, yes, I'm going to talk about sin in your life. I'm going to confront sin within my life. I am not here to try to call you out for your lack or for your misunderstanding or for your ignorance up to this time. We're going to talk about these things tonight so that when we leave those doors, we all will make an effort tonight to start living right, to start doing better than we did before, because you will be judged. You need to start living with that anticipation, church. You need to start living with that motivation. You need to start living with that awareness that one day you will stand before the Savior by yourself and give an account for what you did as a believer. And if we continue to walk in sin, if we continue to excuse ourselves of doing certain things that are shameful, church, do not be surprised why he will not commend you for those things. And don't be surprised while you won't have much inheritance. Don't be surprised if you're just going to be a visitor, if you will, in the museum, just kind of walking on by without a job in the millennial reign and doing much, because you're proving to him right now you don't really care much for it. So look at here, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hope you're not. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So once again, remember, people do not get saved by their church membership. They do not get saved by their water baptism. They do not get saved by being a good person, by being a bad person. They do not get saved by their good vibes or their bad vibes, by being black, white, green, a Jew. No. The reason and the ability that men get saved is, first of all, because the power of God has made itself available to everyone that believeth. Salvation is by grace through faith. Anybody right now that believes in Jesus Christ, the power of God is ready to save their soul. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Remember, we talked about that. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But now watch this, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, what is that next word, church? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Whether you want to call it the conscience, whether you want to call it morality, remember my statement earlier, church. The gospel of God without the wrath of God is not the gospel at all. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? Sinners. For their sin. Because according to this Creator, He has revealed unto all of us enough understanding in order to know right from wrong, in order to know that what we are doing is wrong, and what He is expecting of us to do right is the truth. So, when you were a baby, and there is a young one here with us tonight, praise the Lord for that beautiful child, you and I had enough understanding to know good and evil. But as you got older, the senses within your body, that body of sin, began to mature. And when you were introduced to your first naked picture, when you were introduced to your first sip of alcohol, when you were introduced to this first temptation over here that nobody knows except for you and God, remember that back in the day? You had a choice. You either gave into it knowing the adrenaline was pumping within your heart, what do we call that? Guilt. And you did it and you sinned against God. Or you responded to that conviction with your mind and you're like, man, I should not do that. I'm going to walk away. Some of us, it took us a long time until we got to that point. Some of us, it was pretty fast. You know what God is going to hold man accountable to? That they knew that He existed. They had enough understanding within their conscience that He is a God that is going to judge them. The Bible continues, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We're not here tonight to talk about the laws of logic and to argue for the apologetics of the faith, to defend the existence of God, the ontological argument and all that stuff. We're not here to discuss that yet. But nothing wrong with saying a little bit of science and to prove His existence. Here's what the Lord said. You look up to that sun, you look up to the creation, you look at the things that are made, you know that there is a maker behind that, because it did not spontaneously, if you will, created itself. And obviously the theory of evolution being of the devil is not going to give honor and glory to a higher power that's going to hold the creation accountable. Ultimately, God is going to use the things that He made to be a witness against sinners. And according to that, that was sufficient for us not to have an excuse to do the things that we did. Bible says, because that in verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. At some point, you knew that there was somebody higher than yourself. At some point, you knew that, yes, you know you should not have done that thing. You shouldn't have slept with that boy. You shouldn't have slept with that girl. You shouldn't have watched that pornography. You shouldn't have disobeyed your parents. You shouldn't have lied. You shouldn't have exercised, and you fill in the blank. Because, wait a second, somebody may be watching me. There's something up there I can't explain. I know deep down within my conscience, I just feel like somebody's watching me. I'm just telling you, the Bible's right. Adventures, but He knew that He had to do that by wicked means and wicked gains. He knew that. What happens when men continue to resist the knowledge of God's existence within their heart? Their foolish heart will become darkened. It will be harder for them to get saved. At some point, verse 22, they're going to profess themselves to be wise. Eventually, they're going to become fools. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, those idols. Notice why they worship those things, because they know there's something greater. That's all I'm going to say. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. That's where it starts. That's where it started for you a long time ago when you did what you did. It started because your heart wanted it. And you had a choice not to give into it when you were younger. I knew that fornication was wrong. I knew that having sex out of marriage was wrong, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But when my friends are peer pressuring me, oh, you just got to do it, man. Everybody does it. I'm like, nope. Why did I have an understanding that I should wait until I got married? It's because there's a God-given knowledge that I possess within my time. For you, it was different. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was doing things with your body you shouldn't have done that were sexually immoral. You know what I'm talking about. All I'm telling you tonight, church, is that this heart of yours began to become darkened when you took that knowledge and you started to hold it in unrighteousness. You started to argue against the right you knew to be right and say, it's okay anyways. It's just a little bit. Well, nobody can see me. Well, it's just I'm young. And then again, you're convincing yourself. So when the Lord saw that from heaven, you know what he said? Okay, I'm going to give that up. I'm going to give you up to that. Don't be surprised why you end up where you're at today, because a long time ago, now I know there's forgiveness. I know I'm not here to beat anybody up here tonight, especially myself. But I'm just telling you, that's what we had. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? How many of us have done that before? And how many of them are doing it right now in the world? Whether they want to attempt to mutilate and corrupt the word love for homosexuality or transgenderism or pedophilia or bestiality, all those things. They possess these truths, God says, is the point. But they're the ones changing it within their conscience to live out the lust of their flesh. The Bible says here, they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. There's your homosexuality. But what did the Bible just tell you? They didn't start out as homosexuals. They started out with a basic understanding. That little baby started out with a basic understanding. But over time, what they're going to do with that light that God gave them and how they're going to respond to that conscience God gave them is going to determine the type of person they're going to become when they become an adult. So when that little kid kept looking at the opposite sex, knowing that it was wrong, and either A, the conviction and the conscience is going to try to tell him, hey, you know that's wrong. Don't pursue that. And then the devil, Satan, in the air as well, right, through the unbelieving spiritual influence there, oh, go ahead. No, that's fine. It's just love. It's who you're attracted to. According to God, that's a sin. But that's the result of them rebelling against him within their heart. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Some of you guys didn't want to hear it when you were younger. You didn't want to hear somebody telling you what you're doing is wrong. Son, don't smoke that weed. Son, don't drink that. Daughter, don't give up your purity for this boy. Don't wash that stuff. Don't give into it. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Your family was trying to tell you they're, what you were doing is, I don't want to hear about this God. God, I don't want you to keep telling me this thing. I don't want you to keep telling me that I'm wrong. I want to keep doing me. And here's Satan egging you on in the invisible realm now that we know that as Christians. And as a result, here's what God is going to do for those type of unbelievers. Thank God you got saved while you still can. Amen. But here's why it's going to be more difficult for those, because the Bible says here that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So that guy who joined the gangs, he wasn't a gang member from the womb. He didn't want to kill people when he was a young child. That girl who did the same thing. The pedophile, the same thing. The men stealer, the kidnapper, the same thing. The selfish man, the selfish woman, the homosexual, all of them, doesn't matter. God saw within their heart, they didn't want him. They didn't want to retain that God-given knowledge he gave them. They didn't glorify him. They kept rebelling against the lie. They kept resisting, hardening their own hearts. Okay, if that's the lifestyle you want, if that's the God you want to worship, I'm going to give you over to that thing. And that's why they end up where they're at in the end of the day. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. God gave us all the things we needed, the available witnesses from the creation, my conscience, a Christian somewhere, the Holy Spirit somewhere. But ultimately, he's going to respect your free will. From verse 29 through verse number 32, you can read about those sins. But here's the point. Note in verse number 32, who knowing the judgment of God. that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The battle for you, Christian, is if you're going to continue to surround yourself with people who know the judgment of God and are going to do their best to help you to live in a manner that's going to please Him. But if in your heart, remember, that's where it starts. If you don't want to retain God in your knowledge, you want to keep resisting the truth when somebody keeps pointing it out in your life, you're going to surround yourself with those people that are haters of God, backbiters of God, people that are unsaved, living after the lust of their flesh, but you're going to find comfort in them. Why? Because of that God knowledge. My encouragement to you is to surround yourself with as much Christianity as you can to help you and to keep you on that straight and narrow. Where was it revealed from? Verse number 18 from heaven. Thank you, brother. John 1. John chapter 1. The Bible says here, church, in John chapter 1, verse number 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Again, when that beautiful little baby was born into this world, Brother Felipe and Sister Maribel, your Savior, the Creator, gave that little baby a conscience, gave that little baby enough light to respond to His knowledge. It's going to be up to the both of you to surround her and your little boy and your daughter with as much God knowledge as possible, so that way at some point they're going to have to respond to Him on their own, hopefully to be saved. You have been given such a beautiful task now to be the light bearers, to point them to the Creator and the source of life. But the minute that you guys give up on God and you give up on each other, that little baby, here's the devil ready to take that little baby out. Here's the lust out there, the temptation, the course of the world ready to pounce. And before you know it, another unbeliever just out on the byways there. Same thing for us, Brother Giovanni, all of us at our families. It is our responsibility as Christians to help them, keep them accountable, to love on them, to instruct them, like my wife, little man over here, pouring in that God knowledge into him right now while he has an opportunity. So that way, we can do our best to influence him with the light. Why is that important? Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Here it is. Are you ready now? That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's Romans 1. No wonder why my friend wanted the gangs, because in his heart he saw the appeal, he saw the acceptance, he saw the family members. No wonder my friend over here wanted that drug up until this very day. He spends all his money. He's a little hermit in his room back there in pain and agony over there, smoking and toking and drinking alcohol, because in Romans chapter 1, God gave him a little conscience when he was a little boy. And as he was getting brought up into this world, the Holy Spirit of God did his part to convict that spirit of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. But he had a free will. And that heart of his and that mind of his kept looking at that drug, kept looking at that girl, and kept, I know I shouldn't. There's a consciences. Remember that? I know I shouldn't. There's Romans 1. I know there's truth here, but man, I don't want to do it. This brings me pleasure. And before you know it, that's why they end up doing the thing they're doing. They have an opportunity to respond, but they don't. They know that it's wrong, but they want to do it anyways. That's why people don't want to get saved. It's because they don't want to give up the darkness. They don't want to give up their deed, even though they know it's wrong. They have too much pleasure in the homosexual relationship. They have too much pleasure being disobedient, if you will, being proud, being boastful, being all that. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Let me just tell you this real quick. Even as a Christian, you can become carnal. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 3. You can get your heart so far from the one who died for you, who one who saved you, because you're saved by grace through faith. You can become so hardened by the deceitfulness of sin that you will end up hating the light. Not me, just the Word of God. If you don't take care of your heart, neither come unto the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why people don't want to get saved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. What does that tell me? They have the opportunity to recognize that. They have the opportunity to humble themselves and admit, wow, I know I'm a sinner. The woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8. All those stories you hear about in the New Testament account of Jesus interacting with a sinner who is due judgment, but they humble themselves, they repented, and God showed grace and mercy and forgave them because they responded to the truth that the light told them to do. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What is he going to hold man accountable to? The understanding of right and wrong. The reasoning that he gave within their heart, within their mind, their conscience, whether you want to call it morality, whether you want to call it conscience. Those who respond to this witness within themselves and seek out God, wherever men are on the earth, God will give that man or that woman or that child further light to complete their faith. And at this time that we live in, that is going to be the gospel. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Next stop in our Bible train, Ecclesiastes 7. If you don't know where that's at, it's going to be in your Old Testament, Brother Felipe. Don't be shy now, okay? You can open up that index, brother. There ain't no judgment here, amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 29. The Bible says here, Ecclesiastes 7, 29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. All of our choices, all of our deeds, all of our thoughts, all of our secrets have been our deliberate choice. But God has given man a free will to respond to the choices given us from him. The devil and those around us are all going to be a partaker as it pertains to the influence within my life that's going to either guide me in a path back to the Creator or away from the Creator. But he made me upright. He made me with enough light within me to respond to him. Romans 1 again. Let's go back to our New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. And with your other hand, Colossians chapter 3. Brother Giovanni's getting spirit-filled over there. Amen. All right. Before you know it, he's going to be over here preaching, teaching. Amen. That'll be good. Ephesians 2, and with your other hand, Colossians 3. Colossians is going to be somewhere in the Bible, brother. Yeah. Somewhere over there. Google it, brother. Google it. No, I'm just playing. To the right-hand side, don't Google it. You may see a naked picture on Google or something silly to distract your brother. Okay. Ephesians 2, here we go. Verse number 1. The Bible says here, and you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. According to the Bible, wherein, positionally, sin had the power over us prior to our conversion, we all walked out, we all talked that talk and walked that walk to simply fulfill the desires of the lust of our flesh and of our mind, according to Satan, however, and his influence. If you can see there in verse number 2, in the heavenly realm, if you will, in the spiritual realm, egging me on, encouraging me, guiding me, directing me through my unbelieving family members, my unbelieving friends, my unbelieving education system, whatever it was that I was surrounded with on this earth, the devil was behind it, attempting to get me to continue to live a life of wickedness and rebelling against my God to merit his wrath. But he knew that I enjoyed it. He knew that you enjoyed it. That's why we kept doing what we did. You understand? Whether it was fornication, sexual pleasures, pornography, whether it was homosexuality, alcohol, drugs. Remember, we were fulfilling it. You see there, we were just doing it. That's just the natural thing that we were doing before we got saved. Colossians 3, if you have your other hand there, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. I hope you can say that tonight. I hope that we can be the Christian that says, yeah, brother, I once was that kind of Christian. I once was that kind of sinner before I got saved. I hope you're not now. And if you are, then all you got to do is repent. Look at verse number 8. But now you also put off what? All these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So as we compare scripture with scripture, when we were not saved, that's what we were going to be judged for. We were going to be judged for the deeds, the thoughts, the actions, the works that we performed as sinners in rebellion against our God-given knowledge. We were going to be held accountable every time we sinned against Him, whether it was for our deeds of fornication, whether it was our deeds of filthy communication, whether it was our deeds of anger, wrath, and malice. You're in Ephesians. Just go to chapter 4 and look at verse 17. But you're a Christian now, right? You say you believe in God, right? Verse number 17, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You call yourself a Christian? But do you still watch movies with nakedness? Do you still listen to music with profanity? Do you still listen to the YouTube videos and the TikTok videos and the Instagram? Do you still hang around and do all those things with unclean environmental surroundings, with lasciviousness, things that are tempting your flesh to want to think about naked men or women throughout your day because you're surrounding yourself with that? You know what your God told you to do? Do not walk as an unbeliever anymore. Because here's who you were before. You had a vain mind. That thing was corrupt and that thing was empty. You were so far from me, I was going to send you to a place called hell. How can you continue to allow your eyes to see something naked before you on that cell phone, on the computer screen, or on your video game, if you will, if you're seeing murder through the video game or the entertainment, whether you're seeing profanity? I'm just telling you, you should not be doing that anymore as a Christian. If he's going to hold the unbelieving world accountable to that, how much more do you think he's not going to hold you accountable? All those things, such the like, you can read that in Galatians 5. We had no power over that. We had no power to change ourselves from within. That's why, church, it all starts with the heart. We needed the Creator Himself to create within us a new heart whereby we would be able to have the ability and the power to say no to sin. Let's go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. You still call yourself a Christian? I hope so. Don't be ashamed to call yourself a Christian. But let me continue to encourage you, remind you as your brother in Christ and as your pastor in love to hold you accountable. Look at what a great example we can learn from King David. Verse number 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So friend, here's what that's going to look like. You're on your smartphone. You're on that YouTube. You're on your social entertainment platform. As soon as you see a naked woman, you need to do not recommend that channel no more. As soon as you see a naked man's chest, sister, you need to do not recommend that channel no more. As you're perusing through your Facebook, as you're perusing through your entertainments, your television, your videos, your whatever you're doing, what you need to do is ask yourself, does God want to allow this to enter into my eyes that is going to affect my heart and my mind to cause me to sin and stumble in my heart against my husband, against my wife, against my friends, against my Savior? That could have an effect on me to want to curse again. That can have an effect on me wanting to exercise anger or bitterness because you saw an old gang movie. You saw an old scene where some guy was getting murdered. You saw something, again, from your past entertainments that caused you to want to have wrath, adultery, the consumption of substances, because you're allowing those things to come into your life. No wonder why you don't change, brother. No wonder why it's difficult for you to change, sister. No wonder why those things around you, if you will, those sins continue to repeat themselves, those cycles in your life, because you don't want to cut it off. You don't want to destroy every opportunity your flesh has to be around by it. We have been given freedom, don't you see? So why do we keep acting like slaves? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah 23. We're still talking about how God is going to hold the unbeliever accountable. We haven't gotten to the Christian yet. I may not have enough time to touch on it tonight, but I'm going to leave you with as much as I can, church. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. I'm sorry, let's go to 25. Jeremiah 25, verse 13 through 14. You know what God is going to judge the unbeliever for? He is going to judge them for their wickedness, their wicked living. He is going to judge them for why they wanted to commit that adultery, why they wanted to abuse their children, why they wanted to gain money in the world through bribery and through usury and through all these things that was unlawful. He's going to hold them all accountable to the thing that their heart desired to do, and as a complete contradiction to their God-given knowledge. Jeremiah 25, 13, I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds, according to the works of their own hands. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. What we're doing now is just showing you some Bible verses that prove to you that the God you worship, the same God that died for sinners on the cross of Calvary, the same God who offers grace and mercy for people to be forgiven from the wrath to come, is the same God that is going to give them the due reward of their deeds and of their hands and of their heart if they reject him. That's why I've said it before, church. The Christian and the unbeliever are both going to get a reward. One, damnation, eternal punishment, and the degree of their punishment. The other, inheritance. Ecclesiastes 12:14, the Bible says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. But are you ready for this, brother or sister? Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Some of you guys have some secret things going on in your life. I used to. Praise the Lord, and as my conscience can bear witness before my wife, I don't have no secrets going on in my life that I would not want you to know about. But I used to be a secret brother. Some of you used to be secret sisters and brothers. You don't want to tell nobody about your sin. You were ashamed of your sin, and I get it, because you knew it was wrong, didn't you? But finally, the Lord exposed you because he loved you. You got a hold of it. You said, I'm sorry, guys. My sin's exposed. I'm no longer this kind of man. I repent. You had some accountability in your life that hasn't given up on you, and here you are today, a stronger Christian. Don't go back to it. Don't be a secret closet brother. Deuteronomy 32. It's a shame. The devil wants to keep you in there. No, get out of it. Just confess it. Plead the blood and move on with life. Open up your heart and say, brother and sister, I'm just a broken sinner. I need help. Let some brothers and sisters come along your side. It's okay. We're not going to judge you because we ain't greater than you are. We're just going to use the book that judges both of us and say, let's both be accountable to it, but get out of that closet. Deuteronomy 32. God is going to judge the unbeliever for their wickedness, the rebellion, the works of their hands. Verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. You know what that Bible says in the book of Hebrews? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Once you're in his hand, when you respond to Jesus, nobody can pluck you out. Ah, that's a good study. But once you're in his hand for judgment, oh boy, can't nobody deliver you out of that. Ooh, that's a message right there, Brother Giovanni. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword, and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Your God is going to judge. Those supposed Christian churches that don't have a God that judges sinners for their wickedness do not represent the God of the Bible. That is a God of their imagination. That is the God of New Age philosophy. That is the God of the YMCA. That is the God of flower power. That's not the God of the Holy Bible. Amen. Isaiah 3:11. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Are you guys catching along? His hands. What you did with your hands, sister, brother, that's what your unbelieving family member or friend, coworker, nephew, nieces, cousins, they're going to be judged for what they did with their hands. The deliberate thought and intent of their heart, they're going to be held accountable one day by God. One more on that, you can read 2 Timothy 2:14. That's the judgment of the lost. Let's go to Hebrews 2 and then Revelation 20 before we close. Give me about 10 minutes of your time, church, and I'll call it a night. Hebrews 2 and then Revelation chapter 20. What is it going to look like then, brother, on that judgment seat? What can we expect? I mean, not us anymore as a Christian, amen, but what can they expect? And what can we warn them about? Well, let's talk about it. Hebrews 2 and then Revelation 20. The Bible says here in verse number 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Keep that in the back of your mind. Let's go thousands of years ago, Old Testament. Moses, he's on the top of Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. But angels were there. Cool. Hebrews 2:2 tells you that. And as every transgression was being meted out, every type of sin or act that they could commit, here's what the reward would be for that act, for this act. This is what they need to do. You get the point? Let's go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. What is he going to judge the unbeliever about? Well, we've seen so far the works of their hands, their deeds, their secret things, the thoughts. And here we have it. Revelation 20, verse 11. This is what the unbelieving friend of ours has waiting for them one day. We hope they don't go there. But, sister or brother, if they continue to reject Jesus Christ, that's where they're going to go. And it's okay to say, well, we're at the funeral now. This fellow did not want Jesus. He's probably in hell, guys. So we're just going to be honest with you. And so here's what the truth is now. I'm going to warn all of you that are still alive here at the funeral service of what's to come. I'm telling you, that's the truth. What else can we say? Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is way out there in the future, church. I don't want to put too much information on your head, but just know the church is raptured. The judgment seat of Christ happens. The seven-year great tribulation, you already know about that. I've been teaching you. 1,000 years of Jesus reigning on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, Satan is released from the bottomless pit. One last rebellion against the king. Fire comes down, right? Takes out Satan and all those people on the earth that followed him. The great white throne judgment. The earth you're standing on, it's going to disappear. The heaven you see up there with the sky, the birds and all that, it's going to disappear. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know who's there? That's your grandfather if he didn't get saved. That's your brother. That's your sister. That's your friend. That's your tia. That's your tio. Those are your primos. Those are your nieces and nephews. That's your brothers. That's your friends. That's everybody who rejected God throughout time. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So let me get two volunteers real quick before we go. Brother Felipe and Brother Giovanni, can you guys come up here real quick? Real fast before we close. I'm going to give Brother Felipe this book here, okay? This right here is going to be the book of life. And then Brother Giovanni, on the other hand, he's going to hold over here. Oh, you can stand over here in the front, brother. You're fine, right here in front of the pulpit. Brother Felipe over here, he's going to hold the other book. This right here, the book that Brother Giovanni is going to have in his hand, this right here is the book of secrets. You say, what does that mean? This book right here, it's going to have every deed that the small and great did. It's going to have the secrets. It's going to have the thoughts. It's going to have the speeches. It's going to have their deeds, their actions, and their word. The book over here that Brother Felipe has, It's the word of God. It's the commandments of God. It's the judgments of God. So here comes the small and great. Number one, it could be my tía. It could be my uncle. It could be my great-great-grandmother. I don't know. It could be my family. As God is going to hold them accountable, they are going to give an account of their works. So as we consider the balance now, okay, here's the sin you did against me, and this is why I'm judging you. You knew about this. You know you shouldn't have fornicated. You know you should not have done the unclean thing. You know you should not have committed adultery. You know you should not have lied. My word said this. You did it here, October the 3rd, 1975. You did it over here, 2006, December the 7th. You did it here, here, here. They're not going to have a chance. And look at all of them. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So just like Hebrews 2:2 said, as they're looking at the judgments to give a reward of recompense for that transgression, that sinner right here, they're all going to the same place. But look at the deeds that that guy did. It's not the same as the other guy. He has a lot more going for him than the other guy. So his degree of punishment is possibly going to be a lot more worse than the other person who just probably stole something that was probably worthless, but it's not as bad as, if you will. Now, hear me out on this. It's not as bad as the murderer of 50 girls, right? That one kind of a serial killer. But nevertheless, they're being judged for the light given them in their heart, their conscience, their works, by the laws of God. You understand that? That's the judgment. That's what it's going to look like. Thank you, brothers. You guys are good to go. And look at here, verse number 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So as I come to a close, the judgment part one, what is he going to hold sinners accountable for? The knowledge that God gave them, right and wrong. What is he going to hold sinners accountable for? Their heart. Their heart's intent behind every act, every deed, every thought they had against God and fellow man. Number three, they are going to be judged by the books. The books where everything is being recorded of them right now, even as we speak. Jesus said that every single word that comes out of our mouth is going to be held accountable to us. Let me just leave you with this. I'll finish up with my notes about the unbeliever next Wednesday, Lord willing. Let me give you one last about the Christian, so that way you can prepare yourself before you close, before we leave tonight, the type of believer that you should start striving to be. Quickly, before we close, let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, chapter 6, and then Hebrews 12. 1 Corinthians 3, and then 1 Corinthians 6, and then Hebrews 12, and then we'll call it a day. 1 Corinthians 3. Why is it important for Christians to be reminded of, to strive their best to live holy, to strive their best to live like Christ, to strive their best to go to church, be soul winners, be givers, be the best godly husband they can be, the best godly wife to be, a single person to be, because you and I will still be judged for our works as a Christian, which is going to determine our inheritance for the reward. Not salvation, because the blood paid it all when you put your faith. God took care of that when you got saved. But now we're talking about the reward of inheritance. Look at here for me in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now watch this, Christian. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What was the intent behind everything you did as a Christian? I hope you're listening now. Jesus is going to judge you and your works through a fire, and it's going to prove the sincerity behind everything you did you were supposed to do for him. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon after you became a Christian, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of what? a reward, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you're in heaven. You're there. You're born again. You received Christ. You got saved by grace through faith. He saved you. He justified you by faith. You're going to make it. But what you need to start thinking about, church, I know this is hard for us because we're thinking in terms of time. We're not thinking of in terms of eternity to come. But Christian, if you can start striving right now, that's what's been changing me a lot lately. I need to start living my life that's going to reflect the type of inheritance that I want to have for the eternal to come. The more that I keep wasting time watching things I shouldn't, saying things I shouldn't, being a secret sinner over here, being a hypocrite over there, not being as sincere with my giving with God, not being as sincere coming to church, not being as a sincere Christian as I can be, I will suffer the loss of rewards. And for all eternity, while you may have more than me, that's all I'll get. He's not going to judge on a curve. Let's continue to go down here. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. You have to take care of yourself when your old man wants to do certain things that you know you shouldn't do. One more on 1 Corinthians, and then we'll finish up in Hebrews. 1 Corinthians 6. The Bible says here in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So we already know. Those who reject the gospel, they're not going to go to heaven when they die. And they're going to go to hell. They will be raised up at the great white throne judgment, only to be judged by the works they've committed and the laws of God. So if you know that, don't deceive yourself as a Christian. It says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Those are men trying to act like females. I'm telling you, I don't care if they're actors, I don't care if they're comedians, but the more that Christian men continue to act like women, God calls it a sin, and if they don't repent of that, they're going to lose out reward. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I'm going to take this two ways. It's not only the kidnapping, the men stealers, but I want you to, I know we're being real tonight. I'm just telling you, Christians need to stop arousing themselves sexually. That's how I'm going to put it, okay? It's a sin. Verse number 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But look at what the Lord says here. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. When you got saved, there was a new man. That new man that was created within you, it's sinless before God because that's the sealing presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't have time to get into that. We're never going to lose our salvation because of the seed of the gospel, 1 John chapter 3. But if you know what's coming for the unbeliever, if you know that the unbeliever is going to be judged for all their sinfulness, why do we deceive ourselves by convincing ourselves that it's okay for us to continue to live like we used to when we weren't saved? And last one, Hebrews chapter 12, church. We're going to finish here. Hebrews 12. Go down with me to the last verses here in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God. Now watch this. Acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I'll leave you with this. When you guys go home tonight, husbands, when you guys go home tonight, wives and single members here tonight, there is a God that expects for you to live a certain way. There is a God who has already given you the clear word right there in your Holy Bible on what is acceptable and what is not. His hope for you is that you would do it with reverence and fear, because When you have that in the back of your heart as a motivation, it's what will keep you from sinning against him. But when you, Romans 1, have the truth, Romans 1, you have it, but you continue to not want to retain it, you continue to harden your heart against the truth and what it's convincing you and what it's convicting you of, and to get this out of your life, to stop watching these things in your life, stop hanging around with these people in your life, start giving over here to the Lord, start committing more time to him, start doing this. I'm just telling you, the hope and the goal that the Spirit of God is attempting to do within the life of every Christian is not only to conform us to the image of Christ, but that we would serve him right now while we're on this earth in a manner that is acceptable. But what's going to ultimately do it for you, because we still have free will, is when you revere him and you have a fear of him. It sounds opposite to what a lot of Christianity is now today. But I'm telling you, when you don't have a healthy fear of God, that is what's going to be a lie from the devil that's going to keep you from making every excuse of why you shouldn't go soul winning. It's not that important. My family's more important. My work's more important. My friends are more important. My feelings are more important. My social media is more important. No. That's not. We need to serve him with reverence and godly fear, because that judgment is coming. And when it happens, everything you did as a Christian, you are going to regret not putting in more work for him, because here is your reward. That's all you got, brother. You just got a little, what do we call those in Spanish? What is that? A rock? Yeah, how do you say that in Spanish? How do I say rock in Spanish? You just get a little tiny pebble, a little rock, a little. Okay, son, that's all you get. Why? Because you didn't want to surrender that to me. You didn't want to get rid of that. You shouldn't be watching. You didn't commit more time. You know you had all the time. Son, I gave you all that money. Son, I gave you that work schedule so you can serve me. Son, I gave your wife peace over here so you can do this for me. I'm just telling you, he is going to hold us accountable for what he gave us so we can serve him acceptably. And when he does it and we still don't, there's a fire waiting for you. So church, just receive that in love. Again, the good thing is that we're saved. Tonight, we're mainly focusing on the judgment to come for the unbeliever. And I showed you all the verses of what God is going to hold every single unbeliever for. The secrets, the deeds, the thoughts, the work of their hands. But last half of the message is admonishing you as a Christian. You're no longer going to be judged for your sin unto condemnation. You're going to be judged for your works unto the inheritance. So why continue to waste time with everything that God has given you as a saved, born-again sinner to continue to live silly, foolishly? Man, you got the power. You're free. Serve him. Get busy serving him, because he's coming to judge soon. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I pray that it was expressed and explained clearly. Lord, I pray that you would oversee tonight's teaching, God, that it would not escape our minds to meditate on it before we go. And Father, if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that has been a hypocrite, if there's anybody here tonight that has not been putting in the effort, the time, their love, their dedication to you, not this church, God, but to you in their heart, Lord, would you touch them now by the Holy Spirit of God to talk to you, Lord? In 1 John, God, you tell us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, God. Right now, you are willing to forgive us. There's grace. You told us in Hebrews to approach the throne room of grace boldly. God, please don't let the enemy discourage any one of us if we have not been the Christian we ought to be, because you've given us a space to do better today, to do better as you bring these things to remembrance. Father, for those of us that are doing what we ought to be doing, Lord, thank you. Please strengthen the members of our church. For the weaker members, please strengthen them. But most importantly, Lord, for the unbeliever tonight that may be watching online or will watch this sermon, please remind them that Jesus Christ, he already paid the penalty for all their sin. God, that you are not willing that any of them perish, to give them over to the desire of their heart, which is a godless hell. Oh God, I pray for the salvation of all of our family members and our friends that are not saved and our co-workers. Please open up their heart to believe and to receive that your son, Jesus Christ, died for their sin, that he was buried and that he rose again, and that by believing in his name, they could have eternal life. Lord, I pray that they would have a chance to respond soon. So, Lord, I thank you for tonight's message. I pray that it was clear, Lord, wherever my efforts got in the way, Lord, I pray your Holy Ghost was able to still minister to their spirits, God, to focus on the scriptures. And I thank you for what you're going to do within our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. If you want, give me a call, text me. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys tomorrow evening. Amen. Have a great rest of your night.